Welcome to GeekCast with your host, Todd Newton.
At what point did you decide to embark upon a solo career?
Honestly, it happened way before Cradle of Filth. So I had two local bands that did pretty okay. And about the second, the time the second one started dissolving, I was like, you know what? I don't do well in bands. I have a clear vision, a clear direction on what I want to do with myself musically. I'm going to become a solo artist. My band at the time was not happy. We eventually broke up. Not upset about that. It needed to happen. And then Cradle of Filth came along, funny enough. So I've been doing this much longer than Cradle of Filth.
Were you initially apprehensive to join Cradle of Filth? I mean, that's a very large position to step into.
It was kind of one of those things where I just knew I had to give it a shot. I was in university at the time, and I was not enjoying university because I went back as a mature student. So I'm 26, and everyone's 18, and they don't know what they want in life, and they don't know why they're there. And I'm the one doing all the work in the group projects because I was on the honor roll in first semester because I was so I want to do this right. But I was really I feel like there's something missing. And then I got the chance to audition, and I did, and then I got the job, and then I said, you know what, I'm out of here. But then, of course, I'm on the plane to the first gig, and I'm landing in Mexico City, and I'm like, oh no, I joined a band. Oh no. So it is what it is.
How did the songwriting for this record come together? When I listened to it, initially there's a lot of different things happening on there. Was this something you wrote entirely on your own?
It's kind of a collection of things. Some are new, some are old. One song's from my old band, one song's from an old solo EP, and then four songs are actually demos that got rejected by We Are the Fallen, which is Rocky's other band. So, I was shocked when he sent me these demos. I was like, wow, I can't believe Ben Moody didn't work with these. They're incredible. But I mean, I think anything Rocky does is incredible because, it's Rocky great. So yeah, it's a collection, and we just did our best to we had to cut about five songs from this album, and we're going to bring them back in the next album. But it was just kind of, we stuck with these songs and we put them together in a running order, and it made sense, even though a lot is it's something borrowed, something old, something new, you know what I mean?
How big of an impact did Rocky have on the recording of the music?
He had a big impact on the writing because, he's the peanut butter to my jam. I can't do guitar and drums, and I love his sound and I love his style. My favorite album ever is Fallen by Evanescence, and he was on that, and he helped pioneer that sound, and he was part of that era of music. And him bringing that style, his own version of it, updated and who he is now, to my solo songs was just incredible. He really, he was cool, though. He let me do all the lyrics and melody. I mean, he told me when it sucked and to go back and rewrite it, and I appreciate that. But he also, allowed me to do a lot of arranging, the flow and structures of the songs. He was super laid back, and he really trusted me, and that really meant a lot. It did.
Aside from Evanescence, musically, what are your influences? Again, when I listen to your recordings, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of The Birthday Massacre, Korn, Lacuna Coil, Dimmu Borgir, Bjork, Vast. There's quite a few to list. I mean, definitely old school Nightwish and Within Temptation. That's not a hidden fact.
Right.
And of course, my friend Leah, the Celtic folk metal artist, she's a longtime friend and a huge influence on me too. She kind of just fulfills that folk metal vibe that I love, but I'm probably never going to pursue myself.
Once you became an official member of Cradle of Filth, how did you feel where your position was within the group? Was it something where you immediately started contributing, or?
It's a very strange thing. With Cradle of Filth, I was asked to come on for that tour in 2013, and I was told I was only hired for that tour. And then after that, the band is going to go on a hiatus. Very strange and dark times for the band at that point. And that, you know, that was it. Thank you for your time. So at the end of 2013, I was actually trying to get back into university to finish my degree. And then Danny called me, and Danny said, "Hey, I heard your solo stuff. Like, would you like to write for the band?" And the bassist was writing some stuff at the time, so he kind of sent it to me, and we started, like, kind of collaborating a little bit. And some of the songs came to Hammer of the Witches. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, we got offered a tour in February with Behemoth, right when The Satanist was coming out." And he's like, "You know, do you want to come be part of that tour?" Like, all that stuff. And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm gonna have to cancel my application for university because I can't go back to university." And he's like, "No, it's cool, I appreciate it." And then from there, like, after that tour with Behemoth, we knew that we wanted Richard and Ashok in the band. We knew we wanted that lineup. It just was kind of a thing of the first year was very uncertain, and then 2014 solidified everyone being like a full-time member and writing on an album, which is just crazy.
Now, the persona that you have as a member of Cradle of Filth, as well as you have as a solo artist, how long did it take you to develop that? Is that something you're still working to evolve?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a slightly different persona I want to have as a front person for my solo project. But when it comes to Cradle of Filth, it's just kind of one of those things that came really naturally. When I was younger, I was in the children's choir at school. I'd often be like kind of a backup actor or actress, singer, performer in a lot of theater and plays. So that kind of just was something that, I mean, the first few years I definitely was pretty awkward. I think the first year it was pretty awkward for me. I didn't feel comfortable on stage until about 2 weeks in, and then in 2014 I really owned it with like the stage attire, and then I really started giving like 110% on stage. And that's kind of when I realized, okay, like, now I know what it means to have a persona on stage. Now I feel like I've got it down to a T, I think. I think I've got it down pretty good at this point.
Now, with your voice obviously having a very serious range, what do you do to keep that voice in shape so that it's ready to go when you need it to be?
Well, I quit drinking. I've been sober 6 months now, and I don't plan on going back. Drinking does nothing for my mental health. I'm definitely sick of wasting an entire day of my life feeling like crap the day after. It's just such a waste of time, I think. And my voice has become, the guys have noticed. I mean, friends who are vocal teachers have noticed when I've crossed paths with them, like over the festival summer months, they're like, "You've gotten stronger." And I'm like, you know, I really went back to refining my technique, because as you get older your voice changes and you really need to go back and like recalibrate your technique so you don't damage yourself and so that you can just properly use your tools. But yeah, I mean, it's just been one of those things. I love my sleep, I love my quiet time. You know, I even learned how to do supportive talking, which I've been doing for all these interviews this week, so that way I don't wear out my vocal cords, which is a very useful technique I learned from a theater student, believe it or not. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a continuing education, but I drink a lot of tea, you know, herbal tea. Like, it's just something that you have to be very careful of in doing like a proper warm up before you go on stage, because it's like going to the gym. If you don't like stretch a little bit, you could seriously hurt something. Do you know what I mean? It's like warming up to get into the gym. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. How much time do you end up devoting on a daily basis? Let's say you're having a performance. Do you devote to that time to getting ready, to warming up and warming down?
Just 5 minutes. 5 minutes before the show, there's a certain set of warm-ups that I use that work for my voice right now. And for Cruelty and the Beast shows, I need to do classical stuff and speeches, so there's a warm-up for that. But then when there's like mixed bag shows, then I've got to do some different stuff, you know, especially for Nymphetamine, because that's a mid-range tune. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely 5 minutes, and then at the night there's a cool down that only takes 30 seconds, and I usually do it while I'm getting out of my stage attire. So it's multitasking queen over here. So yeah, it's not that hard. you know, and that's the thing. I have two cups of coffee in the morning, and then for the rest of the day, it's herbal tea. Like, you've just got to be very careful in what you're eating at what time. Found out recently that chocolate is not good for your, cocoa restricts your cord, so I've just, like, cut out chocolate, which has been very hard, but it is what it is.
Now, as far as the touring plans for your solo act, is this something that you have a lot of plans kind of hammered out and ready to go?
I definitely have a lot visualized, but I don't have the money for it yet. That's why once the release is out, then hopefully I can buy some really pretty stage banners and like a drum skin and some lights and stuff. I hate fog machines, but don't ever think that you're going to see a fog machine on stage with me. I'm so over fog machines. I definitely want to do stuff in the future. I have a band. I'd love to expand on them, but I wanted to pick these three band members and treat them right and work very closely with them and make sure they're treated well and paid well. Session players, they're all very good people who believe in my sound and my vision, and I appreciate them for that. All Canadian, and that's cool too. Yeah, it's definitely something in the future. We have some stuff planned locally for December, but going down the road, I would love to do a tour with one of, like, the artists that I look up to who have influenced my sound. I think that would be just so, so awesome. So, you know, in the future, we'll see. I mean, it definitely has to accommodate Cradle of Filth, but Cradle of Filth is going into writing the third album, and I don't come until later on that process. So we'll just kind of see what happens and where everything goes.
How did the Where I Fall video come together?
Good. I mean, I got very lucky. I had some friends in Russia who helped me out with making these lyric videos, and I'm really happy with Where I Fall. That song was, like, I didn't expect that from my team. Like, the people who were involved in writing and producing were like, yeah, like, you need to make a lyric video to that. But I'm glad they did, because it seems like everyone's going through a really rough time right now, and hearing that song, they're saying it really helped them, so that makes me happy. Like, that's what I feel my purpose is for my music. So that response has been really, really heartwarming.
Stay tuned for more Geekcasts from www.bigmusicgeek.com.